slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Then we can start our next session. Our next session is Q&A, and then Dhamma discussion and sharing. We are reviewing the daily mindfulness and Dhamma notes that has been given out earlier on. Then after that, our closing puja. Okay, anybody wants to report their meditation, you can. And ask whatever question related to the meditation, the Dhamma, and how to apply them, you can ask. Just now, any written question today? No written question. Just now there was another lady who came and asked me, want to report something. I don't know who is the lady. Who was it? Was it you? Was it you? Not you, huh? One of the lady. If you want to report your meditation on what you can, huh? Anybody? Yes, Lily. Very good. Pass the mic to Lily. Joyce, pass the mic to Lily. Yeah.
Brother Teo,
yes.
I did exactly what you said. When I felt my heartbeat, I looked more into it, and then after a little while, it slowed down.
Oh, very good.
Until
very, good.
Very, very little, I can feel it. Then
very good.
It's very slow and very quiet.
Yeah. Oh, very good.
Yeah, I could feel it.
Oh, stay there.
Yes, and stay there.
Oh, don't do anything. Stay there. Sadhu, sadhu. We all should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Because earlier on, she was reporting to me before that. She said, well, Teo, I just want to report to you. She said she meditated. Then all of a sudden, she become very quiet. Become very quiet. Then regarding Ingby's reporting, is it? The drum, you remember? The drum and the bell. Then after that, she had, while in that meditation, she can hear clearly. But the mind is not really involved. Then she know I was replying. Then she also just acknowledged it. Then she continued to meditate. Then she realized the mind was so quiet and so peaceful, she can feel her heartbeat very clearly. Then, because this was maybe the first time or what, I don't know, she got a bit excited. So she wanted to share and report it. I said, very good. But stay there. Don't do anything. Then find out what happened. And then she said, just now she did exactly what I tell her. So when you stay there with the awareness, silent, don't do anything. The silent will understand. Because when you do that, the heartbeat by itself, when you are just aware, it will slow down. Slow down until finally, like, no more heartbeat. Rest still. Then after that, a lot more things can happen. Then I told her, I said, if you do that, you will progress very fast. Because when you can do that in a form of meditation, until it's so still, then you go into the daily mindfulness, no more problem, because she can anchor at the heart there. The moment is connected, even in daily life, it can connect there. Then it can be aware from there. That's why this meditation is very different. You don't do anything, you're just silent. That silent is your true mind. And that one can understand many, many things. that is the one that can awaken. Then later on, any location he locate in her body and mind, the silent mind will understand very clearly. Then not only habit, later on, every point when you sleep that night, you silent, relax, anyway. Then you can feel vibration all over. Then anywhere you place your mind, very sensitive. Even your hand on your pillow or blanket or what, all the vibration then slowly you allow it to be silent. It becomes more and more subtle, more and more subtle, until very quiet. Then your whole nature silent. Yeah. Then after that, if you want to sleep, you sleep. Otherwise, you can maintain awareness. Then later on, this awareness can go inside during your sleeping moment, even when your physical body is at rest. Most people will have become unconscious, but you are still fully aware, fully conscious. Then I told you that first day was it, the Bhavanga, the stream consciousness. Most people would be already unaware, because once you enter the stream or what, you lose consciousness. You don't have that type of mindfulness. That's why you cannot go in, you cannot trace it. But the one that has this stability of mindfulness can go in. Then it can know how the subconscious release and the unconscious release, how the mind come out. It can understand. That's why this type of meditation is very different. It takes you, like the Buddha said, the Dhamma is upanayiko. What is upanayiko? What is upanayiko? Leading inward into your nature and asana, into your heart. That's why it's different. You go in and without thought, you're just silent. No doing. No doing means nature do, trust. That's why the four support, relax, aware. You have to maintain awareness, then 24 hours, continuous, ever mindful. And then allow the nature to do, trust. You don't go and interfere with the thought. Don't go and try to know. Because who is trying to know the thought? Who is trying to meditate the thought? If the thought is the meditator, I ask you one question. Can you be in sati? Because sati is before the knowing. If the thought is actively too, you cannot be silent. Because the thought will interfere. The thought will say, this is wrong. I was told to note. Then you try this, you try that. Oh no, cannot. Relative says silent. You verbalize inside there. You are not following the instruction. You verbalize inside there. Your thought keep on arising. That teacher told me, that monk told me, relative say silent, then you silent. But you don't know how to silent. Then you think that is silent, using your mind. A lot of these things you need to slowly, slowly develop through your own understanding. That's why the Buddha said, he can only show you the way. You have to walk this path yourself, the Noble Eightfold Path. You have to cultivate yourself, you have to realize yourself. That's why the three turnings are the four noble truths, you can recall. The second turning, the third noble truth. What did the Buddha say? This noble truth of cessation of form and mind, which is the realization of Nibbana. The first turning is to be realized. Remember? The proclamation is the first turning. The second turning is, this cessation of form and mind, Nibbana, is to be realized. You have to realize it, otherwise you cannot understand. That's why the Mahayana, they always emphasize on this. To them, cessation is Pu Sen Pu Mie. Those who know Mandarin, they will know. Sen Mie means arising and passing away. Arising and ceasing. So, Pu Sen Pu Mie is non-arising. That's why it's non-ceasing. And that is cessation. That is the unconditioned. That is Nibbana. So, that's why the Buddha said the third noble truth is to be realized. You have to realize that cessation. You have to realize with clarity what that thing is. And that one you cannot describe. Because when you enter cessation, everything ceases to be. All the five aggregate, even the pure awareness, ceases. No more. You cannot talk about it. That is what that nature is. And it will link you back to the source, the oneness, the original nature, the true nature. So when it happened, only that former mind who went through it, after that, if there is condition for it to come out again, because the five aggregate, they are still operating. Means, these are the enlightened being, the Buddha called Arahant, with residue. Residue are the five aggregate, because they have not gone into parinibbana. The other one is Arahant without residue. Once they pass away, they go into parinibbana. And there is no rebirth consciousness. We are no more ignorant. Asana. Can follow that? Too difficult. Huh? Too difficult, no need to know. These are for others and some who can understand. Okay, good. Thank you, Lily, for the sharing. Anybody else on the report? Your meditation? Yes, pass to Brother Pang.
Hey.
Yeah.
Radio.
Yes.
I'm using Anapanasati.
Okay.
Where I sit.
Yeah.
The thing is, I'm able to follow the breath in and out.
Okay.
But I can't hold it for long.
Don't try to
keep
hold it for
on
long. You just allow it to be. Relax into it. Remember? I told you, relax into it. It keep on wandering off, understand not? Because you have that attachment. You have that craving to want it to continue to be stable. That subtle craving you cannot see, understand not? That is the mind wanting. The mind wanting is a thought. With that thought, anapanasati cannot be stabilized because it's not natural awareness. That thought is holding there. Forget about trying to stabilize it. You just tell yourself patiently. That's why I say very important to just follow instruction. If it wanders off, don't react. Don't like become unhappy, because when you cannot get it stabilized, the mind becomes unhappy, understand? Then the craving that want it to be stable or prolonged, that is the craving mind. And that is the sensual desire. That is the one that hinders you from becoming completely mindful. When you want to be mindful, you just relax into it, develop the faith, silence everything, and just allow the anapanasati to go on. It's develop awareness. Every time you wander off, patiently bring it back. Wander off, patiently. Then you allow it. It's just like bowing. You do until one day when you are mindful, because you don't worry about it, you don't think about it, you don't try to know, you just silent and do. Then when sati comes to be, that form of mind will understand. Then for your case also same, anapanasati. You just do. Don't worry whether it can prolong or not. You can follow the breath, it's already a very good sign that you have progressed, understand not? The only thing you haven't developed the understanding, luckily you ask, is to relax into it. Whatever mindfulness that develops, you just relax into it and allow it to be. Then the energy will not build up. Then the thought will not interfere. Then every time you wander off, never mind. Don't go and become unhappy over it. Then tell yourself, the untrained mind that has not stabilized the anapanasati and training will behave like that. Then let it move. Then it will come back. Because you know how to maintain awareness in front of your nostrils. Then when it detects again, continue. Then because you relax into it, then later on I can teach you a better way. You can actually develop your attention in front of the nostril there. Don't go and follow the breathing anymore. Understand? Breathing in, and when. So there is a some form of like slight focal point and so on, like in front of your nostril here a little bit there. Maintain mindfulness there. Then all the breathing become like initially long and heavy breathing. It will happen naturally. Then this breathing sometimes can become like very long. When your mindfulness is established, it's like very long breath. One in-breath sometimes can be 2 minutes. Yeah. And the awareness is so clear, the whole process of it, the clarity of this awareness of this in-breath or out-breath, you cannot understand it because only the person who do it with that type of sati can understand. Then the breath is so interesting, so much thing inside there. But at that time when you do it, you only aware. Then the awareness will understand all this because it has the sensitive. It's not thinking. Then it's aware. That's why it's truly aware. Then when you come out of it, you can recall. Because whatever you are aware, you can recall it. Correct? That's why the Buddha say, sati has something to do with recollection. You remember? The textbook always say, recollection doesn't mean that it is something you have to remember, no? Memory, no. Recollection, because when you pay attention, let's say, this is my calculator. Okay? I, with mindfulness, awareness, I put here. Because I aware. I can recall where I place it, isn't it? How my hand move, where I locate it. I can recall that. Correct not? But the whole process, I'm fully aware. But if you are thinking, then you multitask, do this, you will never forget where, you will never remember where you put your purse and your calculator. Especially your purse. Then you will be looking around. And sometimes you look for your spec. Where did I put my spec? Because while you are thinking, you suddenly put your spec down. Or when you want to read newspaper or what, you put your spec down. But when you put it down, you are not aware. That's why you cannot recall. It has become habitual. Yeah, this is the way you do things, heedless. But when there is mindfulness, the moment you take it down, you are fully aware. Then how you fold and how you place it, then you're very sure. Where is your spec? You just reflect. Oh, just now I put it there, I fold it, it was there. Even the key is the same. Understand? So mindfulness is like that when you do this anapanasati. Yeah? Don't try to prolong. Don't have any craving. Don't even arise a thought. That's why I say, don't try to know. Just do. Relax and allow it to be. Then a lot of things will happen. A lot of things will happen. Then after that, it like go into absorption. Like when your mindfulness is continuous, then this piti become very strong. There's a lot of spiritual joy. Then rapture. The mind become full of happiness, joy. Then you like to meditate. Then you continue to relax and let it build up. Then it will reach a point where it becomes sukha, so blissful. I remember during the early day when I went into it, oh, that state was so beautiful, so blissful. The mind is really blissful. Blissful until this body, because it's so blissful. I also don't know how to describe to you. But this is not an enlightenment factor, sukha, understand? If you attach and cling and like this repeated, it becomes a defilement of insight. Understand? Then you will be trapped there because you think meditation is to be peaceful and calm. Meditation is not to do that. Meditation is to develop the understanding of meditation. Very clear, the chanting. The chanting is very good. Be silent, our mind, listen for a while. I continue with this. Okay, it's okay. Pauline, it's okay. You just silence your mind and just feel. Don't do anything. It has an effect on you. I know. It's okay. This chief monk, he is very good, I tell you. He is full of mindfulness. I saw him throughout the day. He very hardworking, doing all those cleaning, everything that she go about doing her thing. You see, this is the way Mahayana chant, understand? And when they chant with understanding, with faith, their heart open up and they are very mindful. And this type of chanting and vibration are very beautiful. It will have its effect. So if you know how to develop, everyone is different. Okay, just now where did I stop? I was sharing on the question by Pang. When I talk about piti and sukha, now I recall. Sukha is not an enlightenment factor, okay? So because sukha is not an enlightenment factor, you cannot attach, you cannot cling. But you can experience it, you can go through it, no harm. The Buddha, before he became fully enlightened, he also have all the jhanas. He also went through all the jhanic factors. Of vitaka, vichara, then what they call piti, sukha, then one-pointedness, ekagata. So not an issue, not a problem. So when you understand that, then you should continuously relax into it. Even piti or sukha when they arrive, relax. Then maintain silence. This silence will build up. Then after that, the long breath always slow down. Slow down until the breath like no more breathing, very subtle. And then you enter another phase. The Buddha called it paucity. Paucity is an enlightened factor. Paucity is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind. So when you enter paucity, means your mind is in sati. Understand not? When your mind is already in sati, you don't need, technically you don't need object of meditation to anchor it anymore. It's already aware. Why must you anchor it anymore? That's why for your case, Pang, you just have faith, continue to relax and train. You have progress, which is very good. You can follow the breathing. But when you can follow, doesn't mean it's stabilized already. So you don't get excited over it. Then the mind will come in and interfere. Want it to be continuous, want it to last longer, want to sustain it. That is craving, that is sensual desire, that is mental hindrance. That's why this subtle defilement, you must see through awareness that you are doing it again. Thought has come in to interfere again. Understand not? So when you understand that these are hindrance, then you don't do it. That's why my advice is, now you start to understand when you meditate. Don't try to know, just do. Like swimming, do. Do until you know how to swim, you will know what swimming is. Then bowing also. Bow until when sati comes, you will know what sati is. Anapanasati also, do until the sati comes. Anapanasati really stabilized. You will know one, the form and mind will know. That is very stable. There's some people who don't understand, they go and focus and concentrate and develop the energy field through the absorption. Then it can enter samatha. Understand not? That's why the earlier teacher that taught the Buddha, Alara and Udaka, they are from the Hindu tradition. Understand not? They also do anapanasati. Then they went into all the jhanas. That's why the Buddha also did that. But finally, he realized all these are still not liberation. That's why he know how to actually come out of it. Then he recalled when he was very young, as a boy, at the harvesting festival, how he went into first jhana. First jhana is not absorption yet. First jhana is when the jhanic factors are all there, vitaka, vichara, piti, sukha, and ekagata, but they are not strong. It's at upachara samadhi. Then the mind was so beautiful, so clear. so malleable, then he came out from all the deep jhanic state to the first jhana, upacara samadhi. Then he reflect and contemplate through that mind. That's how he connect back. Then he start to understand everything. Then that night under the Bodhi tree, when he connect, he became the Sammasambuddha. And that is the way he cultivate. That's why after he became enlightened, for 7 weeks he didn't do anything. He just go through all the experience. Then he has a lot of gratitude even to the Bodhi tree that supported him. He was grazing at the Bodhi tree for 1 week, expressing his gratitude, his joy, his thanks, and respect. That's why in the 4 objects of veneration, Bodhi tree is one of them. We didn't chant, but it's in our chanting book. Vandami chetiyang sabbam sabbatani supatititang saririke datu maha bohing. That is the Bodhi tree. Buddha rupang sakala sadang. These are the 4 objects of veneration. Okay? So now you understand, huh? You just relax into it. Anymore?
Yeah, I just want to ask one question. I'm able to aware that, you know, a lot of unwholesome thoughts arise in my mind. But I don't understand it. Why? Because
okay, very good. Very good. I know your question.
My intention is I want to follow
in your
advice.
Conscious mind, yeah. You will not think like that. Understand? Yeah. But this is not your conscious mind. This is your habitual tendency, your subconscious. I give you this example, you will know. I also came to understand it later on when I was cultivating. Because after I cultivate until a certain point, then I realized my mind very beautiful, very different. Then there are certain things that I did during my university day. You remember? University day, you like to go through the first year experience. You kena ragging. Then there is college song and all those things. And that time we were so engrossed into it. No? Yeah, I was involved with a group of these friends. We take our motorbike, go around. Then we sing college song. And a lot of these college songs are dirty songs. Especially engineer song. And all these songs, until now I can still remember. But that time, any condition, sometimes classmates talk about, wow, here, come out already, the chattering. I say, what the hell is going on? How come this one? There's a momentum to move it. Because you have been doing it for so long. Then, when I was young, also same. Because my parents transferred me to a place in Alostar, Sebangkola. Famous one, like our Tai Kong in PJ. PJ. That place, a lot of gangster one, and a lot of those, what they call, vice around. And the language they speak, 7 out of 10 is foul language. Come out of the mouth. So that conditioning, everything. So that one took me a while, but that one very fast. Primary school, after I more or less finished under 4, under 5, when I understand, then everything straightened out. Well, I understand another language. Then I don't have to use that language. Then later on also, because I don't really mix around with them anymore. Yeah, my nature different. They don't disturb me. So that one was very fast. But the university one, because the Buddha said that 3 condition criteria for the highest merit. You know, when you make offering or giving, there are 3 things the Buddha said. You have them, that wholesomeness or that generosity or merits will become very, very meritorious. Means the highest merits. The 3 things are, he said, so manasa sahakatang, jnana sampayatang, asangkalikang. This is in the Abhidhamma. He said, you can satisfy these 3, that giving is the highest. So manasa sahakatang, the meaning is, at all time when you do, before you do, when you do, and after you do, you should rejoice. Understand not? Somanasa. So to me, it's like a Malay word. Sumamasa sahagatang. So before you do, when you do, and after you do, you rejoice. Then jnana sampayutang. Jnana is wisdom. You do with understanding, wisdom. That this constitute wholesomeness because the law of karma is like that. If you want dana parami, if you want to have wealth and all those things, you must be generous. Yeah? Then you offer with understanding. Then asangkalikang. Asangkalikang is spontaneous. You do without being prompted. You don't go and like wait for people say, hey, this one very wholesome, you do. That means people prompt you to do. But this one, you understand, then straight away you want to do. Just like Joyce when he went to Thailand, the dog place where this Long Po Thon or what, I forgot already. Suddenly the tears come out. That time Long Po Thon was not there. Then spontaneously he said he want to donate. Then ask her how much, he said 4,000 baht. I said, what makes you do that? I don't know. Oh, sadhu. I said, that is the best. Because spontaneously from the inside come out. Yeah. So this I want to tell you is because when I do the opposite with the college song, I also have these three things. Before I do, when I do, very excited. After I do, I somehow very happily excited over here. Because it was such joy. Then I do with delusion actually. But that delusion is an understanding, you know, because I like to do, is it? Understand not? Oh, so in a negative way. Then I do it spontaneously, you know, nobody tell me to do one, no. But I like to do, yes. As a kid, as a student, that time when you are with your peers, you like to go around and sing. And this song was so beautifully worded. I tell you, the way they change the lyrics of the song, like the song Daisy, wow, they change it until very, very vulgar. But the English words are very good words. But the way they put it, it become like very different. Then they got a lot of version. So this is how when I developed the cultivation later on, then because I was very mindful, then I saw, hey, God condition is still want to move. No? Understand? No? Initially, I cannot even stop it. No? Just come on. But nothing wrong. Understand? No? It's just a thought. Understand? No? It's just a habitual tendency that wants to release. So that's why you come to understand the habitual tendency are very strong, very powerful. Understand? You cannot just root it out overnight without wisdom and understanding. That's why finally I reflect and contemplate. Then I came to realize that this also I did know. And this is the price I have to pay. Because the highest merit become the, not to say negative karma, but it's just something, I didn't hurt anybody actually. I just enjoy that singing and partake into those activity. But we didn't harm anybody. We didn't hurt anybody. We were having fun in the college sometimes. Sometimes first college, they'll go to third college, or they'll go to seventh college, sixth college, fifth college. So they were having this exchange. But everybody get to actually enjoy it. So in that sense, it's not negative karma. But because it is something like what Pan say, this dirty thought still come about. It's not dirty thought actually. It's this type of habitual doing that you do. For my case, the song was dirty. But the thought was not dirty. Because as university student, you know, you sing, but you never mean it. Understand? I can sing you one, not so dirty. But that can really make you turn you around. The university song, they got one song about women, you see, lady. And the lady, when they hear it, they got very unhappy, upset, you see. Oh, why were you born so beautiful? Oh, why were you born at all? Woman listen, show very happy. Happy or not? When the man, the boys all come around and say, that you were born so beautiful. But then he said, why were you born at all? So all this, but the last part I don't want to say it. He said, you know bloody something else. That one cannot say. And it becomes such a joy, you know. Then they got this style of song, Meet me tonight in the moonlight. Wow, you listen to this lady, you should laugh, isn't it? Meet me tonight all alone. Then you know what they say? I got a story to tell you. Then they end it with what now? A story that has never been told. Like suddenly, empty climax. Then after that, they got another version. Papa, mama, and all those things. That one, no need. Very, very well. How come can recall? But now it's different. It doesn't come out. Now I have a choice. If I want to say it, I can say it. If I want to share, I can share. But inside, no more. Finish. Gone. No root, nothing. Understand not? But this form of mind is still around. You still understand. So for your case, you don't worry. We are a lot of cultivators, especially those who went to retreat. Even earlier, they shared with me. He said, "Brother, you got this problem or not?" I said, "What problem?" He said, "After I go to retreat, in the retreat itself, 2 days before we go back, he said, I got a lot of dirty thoughts." I said, "It's not that now you got a lot of dirty thoughts. All along you got dirty thought, but you're not mindful. You cannot see." I said, like that? I said, He said, "For no reason, the thought go and think of all those things. Where God, for no reason? You have been doing that for so long." I said, "Understand?" So as you train your mind, you become more mindful. Then you start to see. And this is where the meditation is. Sati, cultivation is. If you don't see, you cannot understand. That's why you know. You say, how come? Because now, consciously, you will not arise that thought. But it's like you cannot stop it. Understand? And I can tell you, the worst is, if you fear that thought, you want it to go away, it becomes worse. It comes out more. Understand? That's why you don't give it any more thought energy. Understand? What is thought? Thought is just thought. Its characteristic is impermanent. It come and go. So let it come and let it go. That's why you don't resist. You don't fight. You don't try to do something. Then thought has energy. Then it become powerful. That's why you just allow it to be. Feel. Be with it. Then everything will come to be. Cease. Then you realize, all conditioned things cease. Understand not? The true mind, no need to do anything. And then you just laugh at it. Silence. Be with it. Then no more. Then later on, when this one becomes very stable, when the wisdom becomes very stable, then as you enter cessation, look, it root out everything. Then you can know one, no more already, cannot come out already, cannot stir already, nothing inside. And this one is not energy field one. We are during the early day, it's energy field, absorption, concentration, condition state. This one, the last 25 year one, is without energy field one. It just relax, silent, and it cannot move anymore. There is no more root inside there, nothing. Then this form of mind is free to do what it wants to do. And it understands clearly. That is the beauty of the Buddha's teaching. That is what this wisdom is all about. Okay? So don't go and fear. Just allow it to be. Thought is just thought, because these are your habitual tendencies, your old way of doing things. Before you are mindful, before you develop this anapanasati, you don't have the ability to see. Then now you see the thought come through the back door and tell you, hey, you still got dirty thought. So what you want to do? You want to get rid of it. You want to control, you want to suppress, you want to do all sorts of funny things. Meditation is not about doing. The third way, remember the Buddha said, just silent, aware. Then trace the origination factor. Then you know it's from your habitual tendency, wrong view. So you straighten your view. Then when you straighten your view, just like that day I share with some Dhamma friend, as you go through life, initially like you like to do certain things. During the early day, I like to play mahjong. I told you all that. Then all of a sudden, after the cultivation, it just stopped. It stopped not because I don't want to play. The nature just stopped. No more meaning already. It doesn't even have a thought that say, you cultivator, you must not play mahjong, you must not have craving. No such thought one. But it just stopped. It just doesn't want to play. Because I saw karma, understand? Then I understood already. That's why playing mahjong helped me to understand. every time I cheat or not honest, I will lose like anything. I will lose like anything. Even when I was 8 years old, I stole my mother $2 ang pao, you remember? I lost everything. I was very, very lucky, and I got a lot of willpower when I concentrate the cut come on. That's why when I was young, I went through all this. I actually learned from all this. But it's my past that showed it to me. So that as I grew up, as I developed the meditation, then I look back, I understand all this. That's why I can share with you. Yeah. So all this, what they call things that you like, yeah, but materialistic one, not when you have wisdom, you will not do one. All this, they were just slowly, slowly, like no more meaning to you. Like you cannot do already. I'm still very good at the game, I tell you. That mahjong, the card, everything. But I find it no meaning already. That's why I don't play anymore, unless there is condition. Then you ask me now to offer and all those things. I also cannot do already. Because to me, no more meaning. I have already understood. But when there is condition to offer, I still offer. Like certain Kayanamita, when they invite me for dana or what, then they say, "Brother, can you help me to offer on my behalf?" Since they understand and they are so sincere, then I say, "Okay, I will do it for you. Then I will go and make the offering." But you ask me to purposely go and go do dana already, I cannot. For the last 25 years, I cannot. I cannot run after monk and do all these things. We have no more meaning. Because when this form of mind understand, it just doesn't know how to do all this anymore. But when there is condition, I will still do. I will still travel. I will still take people for spiritual trip. But this is how I benefited from it. And this is how I can benefit others. So it's through this understanding, the causes and conditions come to be, it is meant to be. The nature will know, it will manifest, and it will do what it has to do. That's why all of the spiritual trip, I don't make decision. The condition arise, then I saw the condition, then I agree. I say, okay, then we go. And every of these trip turned out to be so beautiful, because it was meant to be. Those who follow me to all this spiritual trip, they will know. Not only those things fall into place, the weather, everything, you are like very blessed. Everything is like just meant to be beautiful. Okay? I rejoice. That's why you must report. Then I can explain to you. Because many of these things you don't report, there's no condition, and you just miss it. Because if you don't report, I don't know what is your problem. I don't know. What you encounter, I don't know. Because this nature don't have psychic. Cannot read your mind, you don't worry. It doesn't have anything. It's just aware, sensitive. That it has understanding, that's it. Apart from that, nothing. So, if you got any more question or reporting, you can ask. Anybody else? Earlier on, one lady, who was the lady who came and want to report to me on? I forgot which lady. It's not from our group, somebody new from Alastair or what, or Penang. I cannot remember who. Are you the one? Oh, no. Push it out.
Hello.
Yes.
Brother Teo, you just now say when you are in absorption, where you go into the equanimity state, and then you would like to stay longer. The awareness of that we are aware that we want to stay longer to be peaceful at that stage.
Yeah, but I think I didn't say absorption in particular specific way. I said piti and sukha. When you go into sukha, it's very blissful. And this mind state can be really, really blissful, but it is not an enlightenment factor. Understand? So when it's not an enlightenment factor, when you attach and cling, then it becomes defilement of inside, the 10 defilement of inside. So defilement of inside is like that, because you attach, you cling. So every time you meditate, the memory recall, wow, those were the beautiful moments. Those were very good mind state. Then you want it repeated and so on. That's why you concentrate, you focus, and you develop that mind. But you feel, most people fail to understand. A lot of these jhanas, piti, sukha, and those absorption, when there is condition for it to arise, it's very beautiful, especially the first time when it come. You know why it happened. The first time when it come, you have a lot of joy because you don't expect it. And you have faith, you just do. Because somebody tell you, you just do like that. Especially anapanasati or one-pointedness, kasina. Then you just focus, concentrate. Then the energy build up. Then suddenly you went into it. Then you experience it. Oh, you're full of joy. Then they teach you how to stabilize it, go into it and do. But whatever you do, like good food, no matter how good that food is, I ask you one question. If 3 days in a row I ask you to eat, will you still say it's very good food? You eat until one day you say, "Hey, enough." Then, like Cantonese, they say, "Hu chai." No matter how good, we are craving is like that. So when you go into this concentration, it's also saying, no matter how, after you experience already, you want better experience. That's why they go into higher jhana, higher jhana, higher jhana. And they keep on looking for more fantastic meditation. But the Buddha Dhamma has got nothing to do with this. That's why in the monk's precept, the Patimokkha, the Buddha said, you must refrain. You are not allowed to exhibit psychic and asana. You are actually not allowed to exhibit, because it can come as a byproduct to certain monks and asana. But if you are not well guided by a proper teacher, then you can go wrong. You can deviate. You can attach, you can cling, and you can go into psychic field. So this is to prepare cultivators who are not familiar with the teaching, so that you don't become gullible. Understand? You can experience them, no problem. I also went through. The Buddha also went through. And a lot of cultivators they went through. But when you understand, you will not cling. You will just allow it to be. Then you will come to an understanding. Nothing free you except wisdom. When you have that understanding, your mind become very different. Sana. Does that answer your question? Okay. Anybody else got anything to report? Don't have, okay, don't have, then maybe I will just read to you a little bit about this book. This book is a very good book, because I want to touch on the Four Noble Truths. You turn to that book on success in life via meditation, following the Dhamma way. This is a seminar paper that I delivered at the International Seminar on Life Management with Meditation, Experiences and Success in the year 2013, August, in Bangkok. Okay, I'll read the introduction. Page 1, Romanized number. This international seminar on life management with meditation, experiences and success, dated 10-12 August 2013, held in Bangkok, Thailand, was co-organized by the World Buddhist University, WBU, and the World Fellowship of Buddhists, WFB, and the Papali Varana Mindfulness Center, PMC. And I was invited to present a paper at a seminar as a Malaysian speaker, a lay speaker. Basing on some very good feedback and suggestion from seminar participants and kyanometers who had the condition to listen to my seminar speech and or receive my above international seminar papers reprinted notes, Bratio had finally agreed to allow his international seminar paper to be reprinted in a booklet form for free distribution to all those who are interested and has the affinity to receive them. So this was the background behind this seminar paper. It is my sincere hope and intention that Dhamma friends, spiritual practitioners, seekers, truth cultivators, free thinkers, and devotees will be able to make use of this Dhamma presented in the international seminar paper to develop a better understanding of the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, so that they may progress along the path of Dhamma to become more virtuous, noble, and wiser human beings, so that they can also be a blessing to all. So this was the introduction. Then we have the acknowledgement. It is the donor's sincere intention that this seminar paper booklet be given free to all those who are interested and have the affinity to receive them. I would like to take this opportunity to thank and rejoice in the generosity and wholesomeness of all these Dhamma friends or Kayanamitta who has donated and helped out in the transcription, typesetting, typing, formatting, proofreading, etc. to make this free distribution of Dhamma Dana possible. Special thanks should be accorded to Sister Pama Surilio, Brother Tiu, Sister Ing Bi, Sister Ellen Wong, for their kind assistance and important contribution in various ways to enable this Dhamma booklet to be printed. Then by the power of all this wholesomeness, may all beings be well and happy, free from all mental and physical suffering and danger, and may there be love, peace and joy deep within their hearts. And may it also pave the way for there to be causes and conditions for all Dhamma friends and Kayanamitta who have donated and helped out in one way or other to realize these good and noble wishes or aspiration soon as possible. So these are very wholesome acknowledgement. We should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then with metta always. So if you can have the causes and conditions to realize a good and noble wish or aspiration, that will be sufficient. Good is for worldly things. Worldly thing means what? Good health, good life, good relationship, good harmony. Whatever good you want, good business, good career, everything that is good, mundane. Then noble wish is your spiritual wishes or aspiration. If you aspire to become enlightened one, you can fulfill that noble wish. So this is to help all Kayanamitta who has this good and noble wishes. Okay, then we turn to the first page, international seminar page. So this is the International Seminar on Life Management with Meditation, Experiences and Success, co-organized by the World Buddhist University, World Fellowship of Buddhists, Mindfulness Center. So this one we have gone through. So now I will go into the actual talk. Success in Life via Meditation, Following the Dhamma Way by a Malaysian speaker. Opening statement and introduction to the topic. I will read from the text. It's just like how I address the president at the time. Dear Mr. President, distinguished guests, fellow honorable panel speakers, seminar participants, ladies and gentlemen, a very good afternoon to all. It is indeed an honor to be given the opportunity to share my humble little experiences on success in life management via meditation with all of you on such an appropriate occasion such as today's international seminar. Today's seminar topic is experience and successes in life management via benefits of meditation following the Dhamma Way. And this is a very important topic for us all to understand. If you want to realize our highest human potential, such a seminar can be of great benefits for us to develop the understanding of life so that we can all cope with the great intricacy and challenges of life that are much needed nowadays. especially so in our today's modern society, where everything is moving at such a fast pace, and life can be at times very stressful, hectic, and demanding, yeah, and even at times highly competitive, provocative, and seemingly harsh. Human suffering are very real, and it is happening almost everywhere, even to our youngster nowadays. To be successful in life management, we need to understand what is life. Otherwise, we do not know how to live life. As Buddhists, we are indeed very fortunate and blessed because of the great wisdom and enlightenment of Lord Buddha. The Buddha is so unique and wise because he was able to summarize for us all of his understanding of life, both the mundane and supramundane aspect, into just four noble truths, which became the essence of his great teaching. They are called noble truth or Aryan truth because these are truths that can make you noble ones or enlightened ones, if you can understand them. Noble ones are enlightened ones, and they are very noble in all aspects of their life. They are very noble in their understanding of life, for they have right view with regards to the laws that governs life and existence. They are also very noble in the way they conduct themselves, via their right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. And they are incapable of negativity. These four noble truths are so special and unique because understanding them can make such a big difference to our life. It is just like we had finally understood the secret of life, and because of that, we will know how to truly live the noble life of great peace, love, joy, and happiness very meaningfully. The Buddha realized that there are certain rather harsh reality in life that can make living being really miserable, especially the reality of birth and death, leading to the whole mess of suffering. The Buddha said there is a first noble truth reality. He called it the first noble truth of suffering or dukkha, that explained clearly to us the prevalence of suffering in this world caused by the eight realities of life and existence, that all living beings, if they live long enough, will have to confront while going through life. Irrespective of your wealth, status, and materialistic success in life, you will still suffer if you had not developed the requisite spiritual understanding before confronting them. These eight types of first noble truth reality are birth, old age, sickness, and death. They lead to suffering, dukkha. There's separation from your loved one and one's possession, like wealth, properties, possession, and those things that we hold on to dearly, etc., is also dukkha or suffering. To be with people whom we don't like is also dukkha. Not able to get what one desires, or when things don't go your way, or when your expectations in life are not met, is also dukkha. And finally, the Buddha said, in short, defy every year of grasping, born of self-delusion or sakayadity is dukkha. So when one confronts this reality without the requisite wisdom, then one will be afflicted and suffering like sorrow, lamentation, and grief, fear, worry, anxiety, etc., leading to depression will be the end result. In our modern day terminology, we call them the problems of life, like health problem, cancer, heart attack, HIV, stroke, kidney failure, etc., sudden death due to accident, traumatic disease, and nature's disaster like tsunami, earthquake, flood, building collapse, etc., career-related problem or stress, and sexual harassment problem. When you are with people whom you don't like, financial problem, when you cannot get what you want, relationship problem, due to divorce, forced separation, etc. Social and crime-related problem, when you are with people whom you don't like, etc. then the younger generation can relate to this terminology better. Then according to the Buddha, there is the second noble truth. They explain to us clearly the cause behind all this suffering, namely craving, born of self-delusion or sakkāyadhiti. When we have understood what suffering is and the cause behind the arising, we will know how to retrospectively manage our life better. But the Buddha did not stop just there, for he then proceeded to tell us that suffering need not be, because there is a third noble truth that confirms the possibility of enlightenment in the here and the now, leading to the cessation of all suffering. And this is most reassuring for us all. The Buddha not only tells us that enlightenment is possible, but he even explained to us clearly how it can be done via his fourth noble truth. He said there is a path, namely the Noble Eightfold Path. If cultivated, will lead to the cessation of all suffering, which is the ultimate aim of all Buddhist cultivation. This means this Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation and solution to all of our life's problems. So there is a way out to free and liberate our mind from all suffering. This is what most of us will be very interested in. With this Dhamma understanding, we need not worry about life anymore. We can just live life to the fullest via wisdom. Born of this Dhamma cultivation and the meditation as taught by the Buddha, we can then experience all of the beauties and wonders of life from moment to moment via a serene mind in heedfulness. I was indeed very blessed and lucky because this Buddhist meditation with its great benefit had helped me so much, not only in my study, but later on in my career and daily life too. The benefits of this type of meditation are many. The first obvious benefit is inner peace, leading to inner well-being of the body and mind. Nowadays, peace is very difficult to come by for most people, unless they know how to train their mind. In time of suffering, like fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, etc., born of hell or other life-related problem, this meditative inner peace leading to inner well-being can really help to provide immediate temporary relief to their mental suffering. Because this inner peace leading to inner well-being is a very positive calming energy that can help stabilize their mind and boost their immune system, as opposed to the rather negative energy of fear, worry, anxiety, and sadness. The question that is frequently asked is, why are most human beings not peaceful most of the time? Why are they not able to meditate to develop the meditative mind of inner peace leading to inner well-being? According to the Buddha, it is because of the five mental hindrances, pancha nivarana, namely, sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, and doubt. To overcome them, the Buddha said, we need to cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculty, which is pancha indriyas. They are sada, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya. Sada is confident in the Buddha and his teaching. We are understanding how special he is and how wonderful his teaching is. Virya is spiritual zeal or tenacity to follow his teaching. Sati is mindfulness or awareness before the knowing. Samadhi is collectedness of mind, the unwavering mind. And panya is wisdom born of the direct seeing. This is how we start our meditation. We are cultivating the five spiritual faculty to prepare our mind to receive his great spiritual teaching. Also, the Buddha's exaltation before his parinibbana to all his disciples. The Buddha says, strive on with heedfulness and do not be heedless, or apamadena sambadeta. This is then followed by Dhammapada verse 21 that states, heedfulness is the path to the deafness, heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die, whereas the heedless are as if dead. Which also emphasizes on the importance of training the mind to be heedful. To be heedful is to be ever mindful and constantly meditative, following Dhammapada verse 23. That is precisely the reason why Buddhist meditation is also termed mindfulness or heedfulness meditation, referring to the four foundations of mindfulness, namely Kaya Nupassana, Vedana Nupassana, Chitta Nupassana, and Dhamma Nupassana in particular. So first we must train the mind to be silent. See, all the guidelines are here. Eh? Why heedfulness? Then how to do it? You listen. Eh? First we must train the mind to be silent with inner awareness, so that it can be mindful from moment to moment in daily life, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, leading to the heedfulness needed to understand life. This mindfulness and heedfulness will allow you to see clearly how your five aggregate of form and mind arise in you, how thoughts and feelings arise in you with every moment of sense experience, or sense thought consciousness, and how they condition each other. That is how your thought condition your feeling. Then feeling condition your emotion or craving due to your wrong view and wrong thought to grasp and cling onto the external phenomenal world created by the aggregates of mind. This is heedless living, leading to all the suffering following Dhammapada verse 1. Whereas heedful silent mind with inner awareness will bring about inner peace, inner well-being of body and mind, as opposed to a heedless mind that is full of thought, full of fear, worry, anxiety, conditioned by the hindrance of mind, leading to the agitated and restless mind that is never peaceful. So this is so beautiful. Eh? So with this inner awareness, inner peace and inner well-being, there is clarity of mind that can enable us to see things as they are, leading to the penetrative insight and wisdom needed for us to truly understand life. This meditative wisdom can also lead to the enlightenment in the here and the now, thereby enabling us to live the noble life that is free of all mental suffering and misery. Once the mind is liberated and no longer deluded, then life takes a turn and becomes not only very meaningful, but also very wonderful and beautiful indeed. One can then experience all of the beauties and wonders of life from moment to moment, with full clarity of mind to truly live life to the fullest. This is heedful living, following Dhammapada verse 2, as opposed to heedless living that leads to suffering and misery in this life, following Dhammapada verse 1. Suffering are all mind-made. If mind does not deludedly cling onto the five aggregates of form and mind as the me and the I and the mind, then there will be no more suffering. Clarity of mind can also allow us to make better decisions in life, thereby enabling us to resolve issues and problems wisely and amicably. One can also concentrate and study better and have good and easy sleep. No more problem with insomnia and sleep-related issues. It can also allow us to plan and do our work more efficiently, thereby helping us in our career life. With all this benefit, we can really be a blessing to all. Our daily life will be very different because the mind is always heedful and peaceful. This will bring us to the understanding of another very important aspect of living life. So this one, item 3, is about importance of mindfulness or present moment awareness. As we all understand, life can be correlated to existence. To live life is to go through existence, and existence is time-related. The whole spectrum of time can be defined and divided into the three periods of past, present, and future. Of these three, we should inquire deep into it and find out for ourselves which is the reality. Which is the reality? Past, present, and future, which is your reality? Present moment. So obviously the past is already gone, so no more reality. Similarly, future has yet to come, so it's also not a reality. Hence, only the present moment, which is the highest in life, is the only reality within existence. This is also the reason why people nowadays emphasize a lot on the power of now. Even Eckhart Tolle wrote a book on it, and it has become one of the bestsellers for many years. Therefore, the most important question about life that we all need to inquire deeply is, you read this out. I want you to read it out. Who is having the mic? Pass the mic back. Somebody who can read well. Pass to Joyce. Or Mifong can read better. Oh, you don't have the book. Nah. You turn to page 8. Never mind, Mifong, your voice is very clear. Page 8, third paragraph. Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Moment to moment, life passes by. And this is the only reality in life. What are you doing within each and every one of this moment? Remember, the Buddha always tells the bhikkhus, be heedful and be vigilant. Because if you are not heedful, then you are as
if dead,
following Dhammapada verse 21. That is spiritually dead. Our mind and our thoughts move so fast with every moment of sense door consciousness. And if you are not mindful and heedful within the moment, then how can we cope with life? Most of us may know that the moment is the only reality and very important. But the question is, are we mindful of the moment? The problem with the world today is most human beings are heedless and they are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life so much so that they totally miss out on life, for they never really live. They only existed through life. That is, they are conscious of life, but they are not mindfully living life. Their mind is always preoccupied with the thinking and the thoughts which always delude them to cling on to the phenomenal world as very real. Their thoughts will project into the future to arise the fear, worry and anxiety, hence creating a false reality for them to cling on to. Likewise, the mind also recalls the hurtful and unhappy past to remind them of their scars of memories, hence triggering off the sorrow and lamentation of the unhappy past again. Continue?
Continue. Oh, very good. I need to rest my throat. Thank you.
Not able to see the phenomenal world's three universal characteristics of nature, namely anicca, impermanent, dukkha or suffering, and anatta, non-self or empty nature. They will continue to hold and cling, and this is the cause of all their sufferings and life's problems. Why can't they just silence their mind in heedfulness to be with the moment, to experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life? Just like the Zen saying, drinking a cup of Chinese tea is zazen.
Zazen, yes, Zazen.
Zazen or Zen meditation. Because within that moment, there's just pure awareness of the reality in the here and now. And there's no thought, so no fear, no worry, and anxiety whatsoever, but just a silent mind in peace and stillness to live and experience all of the wonderful moments with clarity of mind and body, instead of worrying about life. Why do you need to worry about life? Because of fear, right? Even if you worry, you are not going to solve your problem. It will instead create more thinking, leading to more fear and restlessness of mind. And as long as you are not mindful, this heedless thinking will continue to create more delusion in you because you do not have the wise attention or yoniso manasikara at the moment of sense experience. That is precisely the reason why we need to train our mind to be heedful so that it is constantly meditative and ever mindful to insight into truth which is everywhere, in the midst of life and
nature. In the midst of life and nature.
In the midst of life and nature. Truth or the characteristics of nature are everywhere. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. Even though the present moment is the highest in life, but in order to transcend life, which is to transcend birth and death, we need to transcend even the present moment to realize the timeless Dharma, Akaliko, which is beyond thought and beyond time. This is the ultimate goal of all Buddhist meditation.
Thank you. Okay. Sadhu. Huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. The rest I think you read on. Unless we have time, I will continue tomorrow. It's almost 9:15. We got to do the closing puja. Because people need to rest early. If I continue to read, my voice will run out very fast. Okay, so we stop at page 10. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merit. Then after that, we end. This is the closing puja. Turn to your chanting book. Page 14. Okay. Sharing our merits with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumodito chirang rakantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits. And may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anamodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and others who can receive them, and may they all to be well and happy always. We go to Patana. Next page. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati hito cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rainfall in due season, and may there be a rich and good harvest throughout. And may the world be prosperous and peaceful always. And may the government, the rulers, and the king always be righteous. Okay, you make your aspiration. Itmina punyang kamena mami bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of this merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, up to the time until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to all the Buddhas and great Bodhisattvas. Then we all can take a rest.